The other thing I want you to pay attention to, and you're going to need your partner for this because we don't really know what we're doing with our face and our voice much of the time, our gestures. We're going to have to take our partner's word for it when they say, I don't like it when you roll your eyes at me, or you just looked at me with contempt. We're going to have to believe them and do something about that. Because they're probably right. Sometimes people are wrong and overly sensitive when they get aroused and they start to misappraise faces, but that's not probably what's happening. I would err on the side of your partner is seeing this correctly and you better do something about it. Many times when people are upset, they start to make faces that can be perceived as dangerous, faces that look contemptuous, faces that look like disgust, faces that look disdainful or dismissive. People make sounds like this too, like, all of this goes right in to that primitive part of the brain, the amygdala, that is scanning for these things and looking for reasons to shoot you. So I want you to understand that during times of conflict and fighting, you're going to have to be careful about the things you do that look dangerous. The sounds you make, the movements you make, gestures. When people get excited, they tend to be more animated. They tend to make sharper gestures. Now, that makes sense when you get excited, but those sharper gestures can also be perceived on the other end as dangerous, because don't forget, that stupid part of our brain doesn't know the difference between something that's just excited and something that is going to hit you. So be aware of that. It's not nitpicking, it's actually happening. No matter what you think about your movements, if they're sharp and they're jerky and they're broad, the other person's amygdala is going to perceive it as dangerous, period. If you make loud sounds or sharp movements and make a face that is eye-rolling and dismissive, no matter what you think, it's going right into your partner. And even though it's going very fast and they're not going to say anything about it, it's adding to the problem here and it's leading to war. So you're going to have to trust your partner that you're making that face. But also, I think you have to watch out for dangerous words and phrases. Now, one of the dangerous phrases I talked about before had to do with threats to the relationship itself, relationship, whether it's going to exist or not. Those are a no-no. Those can't happen. And if you think you can't control that, ask yourself, can you control yourself from murdering somebody? If you can control yourself from murdering somebody, you can certainly not threaten the relationship because it's a big, big issue. It's going to cause you a lot of trouble. So no threatening of the relationship at all. But then there's verbal threats to the other person. And those have to be managed and watched. I'm not talking about things that sound aggressive, because there are people who can say to each other, shut up, and it's not a problem because it's not perceived as dangerous. It's not said in a dangerous way. So we're talking about your tone of voice here also, and the context and what your partner perceives as dangerous. Now, there are some people who use dangerous words so often, just normal words, they can't use that word anymore because it's now kindled in a certain way that every time your partner hears that word, like egg, because you used egg in a way, in a context that was dangerous, now egg symbolizes something quite threatening, and you can't use that word anymore. Sorry, but it was used in a way that was dangerous. Again, I'm talking biology here. This is not something that anybody has control over. If somebody perceives something as dangerous or threatening, they can't control that. You can't talk somebody out of not feeling threatened. You can only not be threatening. We know what dangerous phrases are. I don't want this. I don't like you. I'm not in love with you anymore. A little harder to pick up is dangerous words that are peppered in otherwise neutral or positive phrases. So, you know, I really love you, but... So but would be a dangerous word there. I think I'm okay with you, I think, is a problem. So I just want to give you an idea that there are words that pop up and that you can say positive things to your partner, lovely things, and if you throw in a dangerous word, the only thing your partner is going to walk away remembering is that dangerous word. They're not going to hear or remember anything else you said. And that's not because they're selectively trying to hold on to things that are negative. It's because the brain is scanning for dangerous words and phrases and picks or culls those words out as significant, and they have emotional weight to them, so they go into memory. So the next time you've said something nice, they don't remember it because you peppered that statement, you peppered that compliment with something dangerous. Going back to the issue of tensing and relaxing, I also want to add to that a caveat, not to hold each other for too long in any particular state. A lot of people want to have sit-downs with each other and talk about problems. And while that makes sense, and given people's schedules, you have to sort of say that and do that, it's a problem. People can't tolerate high conflict for very long. Some people can tolerate it longer, but it's unpleasant. It's like going to the dentist. You don't want your conversations to be like going to the dentist. You don't want your partner fearing these talks as if they're going to have their teeth drilled. And so one way around that is to avoid having long, long talks. Sometimes couples will come in and say they stayed up all night talking. Well, while that is maybe nice as a one-time thing, that shouldn't really be repeated, because if you stay in a state too long, particularly one of tension, you tend to not want to go back ever again. We don't want to create that situation. We want a feeling that we can go back to the table, go back to this area of difficulty, this area of importance, without fear that we're going to be held there for too long. That's what makes it possible for us to go back, go in and out of things. So it's important to come back to things, not table them and avoid them. But it's also important not to hold on to them or talk about them for too long. So we might do this. We might go, you know what? I want to talk about right now, last night. I was really upset with you. And we go back and forth. Okay, you know, we'll talk about that later. Let's go eat. So there's a skill set here of being able to monitor for both people to take the pulse of each other in terms of what is too much, what is too little, and to be careful not to go over the line of too much, to be able to monitor that peristalsis, that tensing and relaxing, that holding on and letting go. Very, very important for dealing with conflict. Both people have to feel confident that they're not going to be trapped at any time. They're not going to be steamrolled. They're not going to have to be in a position where they have to give up. So this business of being able to tense and relax, to be able to hit difficult material and then get out of it very quickly or, you know, soon enough, is important for working through problems. Now, there are some people who like to signal that there's a problem and will say, okay, I have something to talk to you about and you're not going to like it. And I'm really afraid to talk to you about it because you get so upset. Now, skillfully, that's not a good thing to do, because while you are preparing your partner for something terrible, their arousal is moving up and up and up. So by the time you get into the thing that you're about to talk about, your partner is ready for war, and you don't want that. I think it is better to start with the problem right away and work your way back. So again, this is understanding how nervous systems work. Hitting something, a difficult situation, a difficult topic quickly, and then now regulating that issue and talking about it, gets the issue out on the table, doesn't alert the other partner to something that's going to be very difficult, and now you can manage that topic and then get out and then go back in again later and then get out and then go back in again later and then get out and so on.